Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we've been talking about anger at God as part of our discussion of learning how to deal with our emotions in a godly way. Anger at God is a faith destroyer. We get angry at God when we think he's mishandled our situation somehow. If only he hadn't done this. If only he hadn't let that happen. But you need to learn to deal with anger at God. And the way you deal with it is change your thinking about things. We get angry at people if we think they've wronged us in some way. The Bible is clear. You never have any reason to be angry at God. We said yesterday, we were making the point that anger at God comes from lack of knowledge of what God is like. He's never the source of your trouble. Jesus, who is God incarnate, shows us that. He never did wrong, bad, never brought trials, tests, or sicknesses, calamity to anybody's life on this earth. And he said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only do what I see my Father do. So we know God the Father is not behind your troubles. Secondly, anger at God comes from lack of knowledge of the nature of life in this world that has been horrifically damaged by sin. We live in a fallen world with corrupted natural processes that produce killer storms and natural disasters. This world is populated with people born with sin natures who are ruled over by the devil, and all of this produces great chaos and heartache in the world. And God, in his sovereignty, has given men free will. With free will comes not only the choices, but all the consequences of those choices. God does not stop either the choices or the calamity. He doesn't stop either the choices or the consequences of the free will choices of men. And that causes much of life's trouble. Anger at God comes from not understanding what God is working to accomplish in the earth. His number one goal right now is not to make this life the best part of your existence. We live in a fallen world. We're all going to get old and die. No, he's working on gathering a family for eternity to bring us all back to a perfect world, a world that's been made new and delivered from bondage to sin, sickness, and corruption. God's number one goal is not to fix up the pig pen of this earth, but to draw men back to his house. Now, anger at God comes because people don't understand that God takes the free will choices of men, even sinful choices, even choices of which he does not approve, and causes them to serve his purposes. The crucifixion of Jesus is such an example. The Bible says that wicked men inspired by Satan perpetrated the most wicked act ever accomplished in the history of the world, the death of the innocent Son of God. But God, in his all-knowingness, knew it was going to happen, and he beat the devil at his own game. He made Jesus a sacrifice for sin. He put the sins of the world on Jesus when the devil inspired men to take him to the cross. And in doing so, he paid the price for the sins of humanity. He brought tremendous good out of tremendous evil. And that's what he does with the free will choices of men. If you learn to see reality as it truly is, it'll help you deal with life in a fallen world. Now, a couple more points we need to make. Anger at God comes from unrealistic expectations. So many Christians have unrealistic expectations, and then they're disappointed when those expectations are not met. Today, many wrongly believe that being a Christian means a perfect life. Now, I can't fault people, because if you turn on Christian TV, that's the way they make it sound. It's all about you having a prosperous life and being the best that you can be and having the best life possible. I'm not opposed to any of those things, but that's not the gospel. The gospel has been watered down to just ask Jesus into your heart and he'll fix everything. He'll fulfill your dreams and your desires. But if you read the New Testament, you'll see there's nothing like that in the New Testament. The gospel is, you're guilty of sin before a holy God, and there's not a thing you can do about it. It's first the bad news, but then the good news. God loved you so much, he took your place on the cross and died for you, as you. He was punished for your sins. He paid the price you owed. If you'll bow your knee to him and acknowledge him as Savior and Lord, you'll be set free from your sin, and he will make you his son. The Bible says that Jesus died so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for him. That's what it's all about. It's about him, living for him. Jesus said, you must be willing to lose your life for my sake. He said, you must be willing to take up your cross and follow me. His cross for you is that place of complete obedience to him. Your cross, his cross for you is not sickness. It's not relational issues. That's a whole can of worms for another day. It's the place of perfect obedience to him. I'm covering each one of these points could be a whole week's worth of lessons. None of this means that there's no help and provision in this life. There is. But true victory comes from seeing things the way they really are. This life is temporary. We are only passing through life as it is right now. We'll be back to live on this earth again when it is made new. Many of us have lost this eternal perspective, and we're the worse for it. This life is only a small part of our existence, friends. The greater and better part of our life is ahead in the life to come. We are sojourners passing through. Paul said in Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this life don't even begin to compare with what's ahead for us. The goal of salvation is not to make this life the best part of our existence, but rather to draw men back to God through Jesus and produce transformation in men in creation, turn sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God, and remove every trace of corruption and death from this earth and renew it, so that God can fulfill his plan to have a family of redeemed sons and daughters in a perfect world for eternity. That's what it's all about. It's bigger than you having a new car or a promotion at your job. You need to understand, we discussed this in some detail a couple of weeks ago, many of our desires and talents are not even for this life. You know, you may be old enough to realize your dreams are not going to come true in this life. There's not enough time left. Well, the good news is there's life after this life, and your desires are not really even for this life. They're for the life to come. All loss is temporary. All mistakes are forgivable and fixable, either in this life or in the life to come. Now, there are some circumstances in this life that can be changed as we exercise our authority in Christ. Absolutely. Some we can avoid as we follow principles of wisdom from the Word of God. Some we just have to push through. If we're living according to how we feel rather than according to if we're living according to how we feel or according to inaccurate information, it can be hard to tell what circumstances we can speak to and change, what circumstances we should avoid, and what circumstances we just need to push through. Many of us are motivated by fear of what if this doesn't work, rather than by the confidence that no matter what happens, even if it doesn't work, it's not bigger than God, and he will get me through until he gets me out. When you see reality as it truly is, it inspires your hope, even in the midst of life's worst trials. And it also puts you in a place of faith to deal with life's challenges in the most effective way. Now, back to Martha and Mary. We haven't talked about them in a couple of days. That's where we started in John 11 when their brother Lazarus died. They were mad at Jesus. Now, these ladies were true followers of Jesus. There's no doubt about that. But in the crisis, they blamed God for their brother's death. When Jesus finally arrived, Martha made all the appropriate religious remarks. If we go back and read, she said, "Oh, I know that my brother will rise again in the resurrection." But we find that as the events unfold, she didn't really believe what she thought she believed. You recall Jesus ordered the stone removed from Lazarus' tomb. Her first words were not, "Hooray, Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, is going to raise my brother from the dead." No, her first words in verse 19 were, "Lord, he stinks." According to Jesus, she doesn't believe what she thinks she believes. See, that's where a lot of us are. We got confidence in God until something goes wrong, and then it all goes out the window. I'm trying to help you, give you reasons to have confidence even when it doesn't go right. This mess is temporary, even if it lasts your whole life, and the best is yet to come. Martha and Mary lacked the confidence that despite what they saw, despite what had gone wrong, Jesus had things under control and that he would bring maximum good out of their situation. That's where a lot of us are. We're not faulting them. They didn't have the light, all the light that we now have. I mean, this is an example of what really happened to real people, and it was recorded here in the scripture to encourage us by giving us hope and to help us from keeping the same mistakes. John, who recorded this incident in chapter 20, verse 31, specifically said he wrote what he wrote so that men would believe that Jesus is the Christ and have life through him. As the Christ, the Messiah, as Almighty God, nothing is bigger than him, not even death. See, that's what this passage shows us. Nothing is bigger than death. Jesus brought Lazarus right out of it. But like we said a few days ago, Lazarus died again. But guess what? He and all of us are coming out of it permanently. We leave our bodies and go right into the presence of God in heaven. And at the resurrection of the dead, our bodies will be brought up and glorified. Jesus is the resurrection, and this account gives us the assurance that death is a temporary situation with the promise of ultimate resurrection and restoration. Martha and Mary reacted to their loss like many of us do, and on top of the pain of the loss of their brother, they had the anguish of believing that God had failed them. If this situation had turned out differently, if Jesus had just arrived sooner, we'd be all right, but it's too late. There's no hope. They were walking completely by sight and emotions, but they didn't have all the facts. We also tend to look only at what we see without taking God's word into account, and we get upset with God. But see, they were facing a hopeless situation that you and I know was not hopeless. God had a plan. Jesus had a plan in mind to use an event in a sin-cursed earth, the death of Lazarus, for glory and for good. Jesus raised him from the dead in front of a crowd. The sisters got their brother back, and many believed on Jesus. Maximum glory and maximum good. Now, you may be thinking, that's wonderful for them, but my loved one is dead and buried many years. Well, this is where your view of reality has to be accurate. You will see them again in heaven, and you aren't going to care when you get to heaven that you live the rest of this life without them. I realize that won't stop the pain of the loss, but it will help you get through it. Well, why didn't God heal or raise my loved one? I really can't answer that. But we can't let what we can't fully explain yet undermine what we do know, nor can we water down God's word in any way. Like Martha and Mary, we tend to focus on what we don't have and didn't get. Let's turn it around and focus on what we do have. Hope in God.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.